Weeks ago, Don asked me if I'd be willing to share a message today. I said, sure, fine. He said, I think you had a couple of things on your mind that you wanted to talk about, and that's true. There were two things. One was I was thinking of talking about quantum mechanics. Seriously. You know, there's all this business about many worlds, multiple universes, infinite number of universes, and the many world interpretation of quantum mechanics and everything, and what it has to do with the universe and all that. And I thought I'd just talk about that at some point, and maybe I will. Okay. And
some shop down Warp Boulevard.
And at any rate, it just points back to God, really, what it all does. The other thing I was thinking about talking about is talking about what's going on with Israel these days. Maybe some people here are even more of an expert than I am. I'm not a great expert, but it's clear God is not done with Israel, and important things are happening there. And I must say, some of the things, you know, I'm not sure I would have done it the way God is doing it, but then I look back and see what he's done and say, yeah, that's much better than what I would have done, and that sort of thing. But at any rate, there's just some amazing things going on with Israel, and I think at some level we should all be aware of it and that God is still moving in that area these days. But so I had those two things on mind, and I started praying about, you know, what I should do, and basically, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, not either one of those. Just forget that stuff. He said, I want you to just talk and encourage people that I'm still moving today. That is, God is still moving supernaturally amongst us in this day. And he's doing that all the time, every day, every week, and every one of us. And so I just really hope I can encourage you that way. And so I'm mostly going to talk about the ways God has moved in our lives, my life, and Joan and our lives together and so forth, but also in some more general ways. And please, as I do this, this isn't about me. You remember I had a special message from God at one point that it's not about me. The things I'm going to talk about, you know, this is God. This is Jesus moving even with silly, not so terribly important most of the time, me, you know. Any rate, so Lord bless this. Lord bless this. I pray I can communicate what you have for this church today. Okay, well, you know, he's the great I am, and he's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he never changes. And he's moved supernaturally. We read about it in the Bible, and then we hear about it from various saints down through the ages and down through times recently and so forth. Well, none of that stops. None of that stops. There's nowhere where he says he's going to stop moving supernaturally with us and amongst us. Okay? And so we need to pray expectantly with God when we want things. We need to say, God, you know, I need this, or I want this, or, you know, and of course it's important to be to be moving with him, you know. We should be praying mostly for things that we think he really would like to see. And we, if you ask him, he will make that clear to you, whether or not this is the kind of thing he really wants to see happen in your life. But once you think you're aligned with God and you pray for it, you should expect something to happen. Now, of course, it doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes it does. And I think he expects us to expect that. That this is going to happen fairly quickly, but also to be patient when it doesn't. Okay, so let's just talk about this. I've started in this before, and I sort of did the last time I was up here. God has moved supernaturally in my life many times. There was my salvation, and I've been through that 2-3 times, and it was absolutely a supernatural movement of God to manage to slap me hard enough in the face and get my attention. And know that he is true, he is God, and Jesus is his son. And so the whole business of my salvation, including healing from cat allergy, And the way our house church grew really was absolutely supernaturally, going from 10 people to over 50 people in a matter of a couple months and that sort of thing. And I had never shared this before, but at one point in my career, I was running out of ideas of what to do in my career in physics, and I really needed to have a new experiment. And Joan and I got together. I told Joan, you know, if I don't come up with something else to do here, you know, the world's going to pass me by professionally and everything. And Joan said, well, why don't we pray about it? She does this a lot where I'm stuck on something. And she says, well, why don't we pray about it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So we prayed about it. And within a week, God gave me an idea for a really great experiment. Really, I mean, it was just absolutely out of the blue what he gave me. And it was something I could do with the group I was in. And me to continue to get support from the National Science Foundation and do well, you know, in my area, experimental nuclear physics, and so forth. And so even things like that. More recently, and I've talked about some of these, the house sales recently, and I've gone into detail before, and I'm not going to do that now. But, you know, we sold both our house in Ohio and the one here for 98% of what we were asking. And one took one day and the other took 4 days to sell. And we sold both of them for more money than a number of people said we could possibly get. In one case, it was me who was saying that. Okay, and it turned out the amount of money we got for that was exactly the amount of money we needed in order to get the house that we have now. Amen. Okay, and actually in that regard, we had set aside certain amount of money for moving in after we got there, you know, some additional pieces of furniture or whatever, had to put in a water softener and stuff like that, and a certain amount of money. And now I think we're pretty much in, and we've spent exactly twice that amount of money that we set aside. You know what? Somehow it was there. We didn't go into any further for this. Somehow it appeared during this last year. Right. I still sometimes get out the piece of paper to try and figure out how that happened, and it's not entirely clear. Okay. And I've talked about, you know, our daughter found out here several months ago that there was $105,000 of liens on her house, you know, following the time when her husband left her and the divorce came into being, and he did finally agreed to have the house and so forth. And she thought it was free and clear, and it turned out there were $105,000 of liens. And that was happening right about when we were buying the house. And if we'd had to help her out with that, we really didn't want her to lose her house, you know. She has this child who has fairly high level of autism and so forth. If we'd had to do that, we wouldn't have been able to go ahead with the purchase of the house, building the house we did here and so forth. And we prayed about that. And I must say, you know, I am managing to mature somewhat. So even like in a situation like this, I think I was really praying that, Lord, I don't see how you can do this, but somehow, Lord, it'd be nice if you could do this so that we could still get this house and this could be taken care of. And our daughter is praying about it too, and she talked to a real estate type lawyer and everything, and that person finally said, well, why don't you just send a letter to all these people who have liens on the house? These are debts her husband ran up in his business that he didn't tell her about. And so she wrote a letter and just explained the whole situation to him. And don't you know that every one of them but one just said, oh, I didn't understand, I'll remove that lien. And the only one that stayed was some company, and they said by company policy we can't just do nothing, and they settled for a fraction of what the original lien was. And for an original liens of $105,000, in the end we had to come up with about $4,000 in order to clear it free. I mean, any rate, God moves. Okay, now, you know, I'm going to go on and continue to give you more examples like this, but I understand a lot of you are going through things, and actually we are still going through things in various ways, both with our health and, you know, like our grandson with autism and so forth. And understand, you know, not everything works the way, you know, what I'm trying to do is you know, encourage you that God really does do things, and we can pray expectantly and it'll happen. But I, please, you know, I mean, understand I'm not naive. Some things, you know, even like with Paul, he says, you know, he prayed a number of times that this would be removed, and it wasn't removed. But his grace, he said, but your grace is sufficient for me. And sometimes that's where it is. But usually we find, even in those situations, that there's a good reason why we just didn't get that right away. God's doing something there. And sometimes we don't see it for a while, and maybe never. But at any rate, and then I think continuing to get more recent, I think maybe I shared this one time just from the audience here, or whatever this is called, the congregation. Several months ago, I had a dream about a guy up in Ohio. It was in the body up there, where I saw him playing on a bongo drum in a church with a bunch of people from Africa, a bunch of Africans, you know. And he didn't speak their language, and they didn't speak English very well or anything. And I saw him playing, and somehow I was there, and somebody from that body came up to me and said, "Who is this guy?" And I said, "Oh, that's Dan Capps." And they said, "Oh, he's a real blessing here. He comes and he plays his drums and he prays for people, and he's just a real blessing." And this just came, quote, out of the blue in a dream. That is, namely, from God in a dream in the middle of the night. And I got up the next day and sent him an email and told him what I saw. And he sent me a big, long email back, and he said, "Well, that's amazing, because that's exactly what I'm doing. We have an African church meeting in our building on Sunday afternoons, and I just go up and I play the bongo drum there, and I pray for them and that sort of thing." You know, and I didn't know any of this. I didn't know any of this, okay? And he said, "This just really confirms to me that I'm where the Lord wants me to be." And I'm just, when these things happen, I'm just like, "Why me, Lord? I mean, what? I mean, who am I that you tell me something?" I realize this is not an earth-shaking prophecy or anything like that, but still, you know, it's absolutely supernatural. There's no other way to explain things like this. And I've had a few dreams like that. Okay, and then very recently, just this last few days, our daughter contacted us and told us that she was going to have a birthday party for our grandson who has autism, and Owen, and Joan has agreed to share about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think that Owen has been the subject or object of prayer for a long time. He's 12?
Yeah, he just turned 12.
This week.
On Friday.
In Indiana, Owen's grandmother, Davis, his other grandmother, she was a prophetic type, big time, and she saw that Owen was going to bring many people together, and I don't remember all the details about that, but he was a warrior, that's right. His grandmother, Deb Davis, said that he is a warrior and he was going to bring many people together. And then Owen was born. He doesn't look like a warrior. But our brains have gotten a little more settled in that Lord can do whatever he wants in whatever way he wants. So, Jenny and Heath have been divorced for a few years. She has married Ken, who has quite a large family in the area. So she said that they were going to do a birthday party for Owen on his birthday, and it was going to be at a trampoline park because he loves the trampoline. He loves it. So they invited, Jenny and Ken invited all of Ken's family who live nearby. I don't remember. Anyway, several of the Davises, which is Owen's last name, and they all said they were coming. Now, these folks had not talked with each other very much, and sometimes when they do, it's not pretty. But they all said they were coming, and they all came. And we didn't hear any details yet, but Jenny said it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So when she says wonderful, that means it was really wonderful. She tends to downplay things like that. But it, you know, it's just, okay. I didn't understand what the prophecy meant, but God did. And he did what he was going to do. And he let us in on it just in time that we could understand it and say, So
we're just one together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see, there's something in all of our hearts when we see a handicapped child, it does something. And so here are a bunch of people, a number of which, including her ex's brother and his family and so forth, including people who really didn't want to talk to each other, and when they have recently, it hasn't been nice, that sort of thing. But when you're talking about having a birthday party for this really quite handicapped child, I mean, he has words, but he almost never speaks in sentences. He really has little idea of what's going on in the world. But he's a happy child almost all the time. But at any rate, they all just really feel for him. And they really, no matter what's going on, they really respect Jenny for continuing to just take care of him. And so they all showed up with this, and they got along somehow. That's just, it's just a miracle. And it's really blessing our daughter that this was, and then it went the way it did. It's an answer to prayer for a whole bunch of people in our. A couple other things very recently that I haven't shared in here. There have been a few things that the Holy Spirit has put on my mind lately that I just wonder what's going on here, and I want an answer. Okay. And the very fact that I'm questioning these things is from the Holy Spirit, really. So, for example, the first one, I really heard a bunch of people about this here a month or two ago. How we can be forgiven, and yet the Bible says we will stand before Christ and be judged, you know, when we die. And it's in there. I mean, it really, it says both these things, you know. It says God will remove our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, and yet we will all stand before Christ one day. And I'm like, how does this work? How can we be forgiven, and yet at the same time we're going to be judged? And what does that mean, take it as far from the east as from the west? And I bothered Don about this, and Joan, and Sue, and I don't know, probably a few other people, and most people are like, yeah, well, whatever, you know, God can do that. No, I really, how can he do this, you know? And the answer came to me in a dream. Like a few times a year, I have dreams that I know are just clearly from the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I suspect some of you do also. Maybe all of you. Anyway, what came to me, I was standing before the throne, and I've done this a few times in dreams where I'm standing before the throne, and I don't know if this is exactly what it'll be like, but this is the way it comes to me. And it's just like this great big pillar of light or something going up. And the farther up you look, somehow the brighter it gets, and that's where God is. The Godhead is up there, and you just can't quite even bring yourself to look all the way up. But it's wonderful, and you're standing there, and then you see Christ sitting on God's right-hand side, and he's all glorious and white and everything. But the real sense you get, two senses come at the same time, and this is what came to me in the dream. This is not while I was awake and thinking, trying to think this through at all. was, first of all, you just realize how righteous Jesus is, how perfectly righteous he is, and that you are not, you know. And so there's, I mean, there's just a real knowing that he is different than you are, and he's just, he's God, and he's perfectly righteous in all he does and everything. And you are not like that. And somehow that's what the judgment is like or something. You just know that you are a sinner or have been a sinner. But at the same time that that was happening, the whole thing is just like a wash in love. It's just a wash in love, and you're totally accepted in it, and you don't want to leave it. You don't want to go away from here. It's just so wonderful, the feeling you have here. And so it isn't like there's no condemnation in it whatsoever, and yet you know that you are a sinner. You have that knowledge, but somehow it's okay. It doesn't matter, because at the same exact time, you're totally forgiven, and you're just flooded with love, okay? Well, I don't know if that works for you, but believe me, the way it came to me in the dream, I don't know that I can explain it totally, but it worked for me, okay? And at any rate, I'm willing to let that question sit right there for now, and that's fine. I have enough answer on that. So, you know, it says, ask and you will receive. You know, knock and the door will be open. And I believe that has to do not just with salvation, but with anything that we need. You know, ask, sincerely ask, get before God and pray expectantly, and you will get the answer you need. Again, sometimes he lets you walk it out for a while, for various reasons, but often it doesn't take long. I started asking this question, I would say, from the time I started asking it till I had the dream, was about 2 months, okay? About 2 months. I mean, the time will always vary. Then there is a second one. What does it mean to forgive somebody? This is my most recent one that I've been bugging people about. What does it mean to forgive somebody? You know, if somebody really offends you, we never really forget it. Oh, I don't know, maybe if it was a childhood thing and maybe 40 years later, maybe some of those things we've forgotten. But, you know, if it's at all recent, in the last 10, 20 years or something like that, and it was something that really offended you, we don't forget it. We don't forget it. So somehow forgiveness is not, you know, we say, I forgive them. Well, that doesn't mean we forget it. We just can't forget it. It just doesn't, our minds don't work that way, you know? So, you know, but you look in the Bible and it says, like in Ephesians 4, 31, 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and so forth. Romans 12, 18, never take revenge, leave it to God. Okay, and in Matthew 18, as we're all familiar with, one of the apostles asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive somebody who has transgressed against us? Is it 7 times? And he says, no, 70 times 7. You know, so how do we do this? How do we do this? We don't forget. And this one, I just kept praying about it, and it came to me. And I want to read. Joan and I use this book. It's a daily reading thing, and it's called Hope by Nancy Guthrie, who had a child who died when she was a few months old named Hope. And it's amazing, her walk with Jesus. But so on this day, which we did a couple weeks ago, she writes one entitled The First Step Toward Forgiveness. Starts with a scripture, Proverbs 27:3. The stone is heavy, sand is weighty, but the resentment caused by a fool is heavier than both. So she writes, I left while you were speaking because you really made me mad, the last woman in line said to me. I couldn't imagine what I said that made her so mad. It was what you said about forgiveness. Said, an accumulation of offenses had left her so angry she couldn't talk about it without tears. Forgiveness is not minimizing what someone has done or saying that it didn't matter, I had said. Forgiveness says, you hurt me deeply, but I'm not going to make you pay. You don't owe me anymore, not even an apology. The suggestion that she didn't have to wait for the people who had hurt murder to be sorry or even acknowledge what they had done before she forgave was too big a hurdle for her. And maybe it is for you too. She saw the imagined confrontation she thought she would feel so delicious slipping away. So she walked out. But she was miserable inside and tired of carrying such a heavy load of resentment. And she knew she was making everyone around her miserable too. So she came back to. While she knew she needed to forgive, it felt to her like a mountain too tall to climb. I know it feels like forgiving them is not only unfair, but impossible, I told her. But you have a choice. You can decide it is too hard for you, and a year from now you will be more embittered, more miserable than you are now. Or you can begin to move forward starting today so that a year from now your load will be at least a little bit lighter. Forgiveness doesn't usually happen overnight. The deeper the hurt, the longer the process. But that doesn't mean you can't start down that road today. You likely won't get rid of all your negative emotions immediately, but don't let that keep you where you are. Your first step toward finding freedom may be simply asking God to give you the want to. Aren't you tired of carrying around the heaviness in your heart that robs you of happiness, but also spreads the poison to everyone around you? Won't you take the first step toward forgiveness? So, I believe what the Holy Spirit has shown me through things like that is what forgiveness is just finally saying, it's okay. Yes, it was an offense. I'm not going to pretend it wasn't an offense. Maybe it wasn't in some absolute sense, but for me it was an offense. It offended me. But I'm going to get past this. I'm forgiving you, and I don't expect you to change. Now, maybe, and you don't even necessarily get to say this to the person. In fact, you probably don't get to say it to the person, but you say to yourself, I don't expect them to change. They may even continue to offend me, but I don't need it. I don't need it. They don't need to apologize to me. I will try to take care of myself. I may try to avoid these people as much as I can, or whatever, as the Lord leads. But, you know, they're going to be what they are, and it's okay. God will see me through this, and it's fine. And I just say I forgive them, and I don't expect an apology or anything else from them. So you see, we don't forget it. We don't forget it. But we, by God's grace and with God's help, we can just live anyway, and we don't need any of that from them. Otherwise, you know, they're holding us there. They've got us trapped. And it's no good for us, and it's no good for the people around us. So that's an example where it wasn't so much a supernatural revelation for me, but it was a number of people talking to a number of people and reading things like that. I was able to get what I needed out of that. Okay, just a couple more things here. You know, God heals. You know, Matthew 15:30, it talks about how Jesus healed them all. In James 5:14, it says, you know, if you're sick, call for the elders. And John 14:12 reminds us that greater works than these, that is what Jesus has done, we will do as his followers. And my personal examples are, you know, the one I've talked about a few times is my being cured of allergies to cats the night I was saved, you know. More recently, I really believe it was God doing it. My eyesight has been restored for some reason, something I really bothered him about for a year or two years ago, and really wanted for my own thing, gloriousness, and he didn't give it to me then. And now that I don't really care whether I wear glasses or not, suddenly I can see fine. Okay, all right. But, you know, We've gone and seen people like Reinhard Bonnke, Benny Hinn, Mahesh Chavda. Anybody know Mahesh Chavda? You know that name? We've seen these people pray for people to be healed. And I know a lot of people are critical and you know, they say it's not happening or something, or people are pretending or whatever. But I'll tell you, we've been where these people are, and people come up, you know, a big stream, and they pray for them. And maybe they pray for 100 people or more, and like two or three out of 10 claim some kind of healing. And when they get all done, they invite certain people to come up and share their healing. And I'll tell you, some of those people, I mean, I'm absolutely convinced, were really healed of something dramatic, really dramatic. And I think I've shared this before. When we went over to see Benny Hinn once, we came in there before he was out even. All this was, you know, had been announced in the area, all around the Akron area and so forth for some time. And a bunch of people had come, and the place was packed. It was a big auditorium that could seat maybe 1,000 people or something like that. And it was pretty much packed. And just as soon as I walked in the door, it just hit me. The Spirit of the Lord was there, because it really had nothing to do with Benny Hinn, just like any of these things I'm talking about that God has done with me. You know, it's not me. It's not Benny Hinn, but these people came expecting, wanting, desiring, prayed up, and everything. And you just walked in the door, and you just started to feel it all over, and you just felt it in the air. I mean, and it's just them. And yes, they're not all healed, but many are. Many are, and it's supernatural. And so, I think, you know, whatever we're suffering with or other people we're talking about praying for, we should expect something to happen. We should pray expectantly. It happens. It happens. Does it happen every time? No, not exactly, or maybe it takes a while, or whatever, but it can happen, and it does happen. And if we never pray for them, it's not going to happen, you know. But if we're praying for them, there's a good chance God will move. God will move. And again, it's not like, you know, if we pray hard enough, oh, finally he'll do it or something. But somehow he uses things. Why he chooses to do it that way, I don't know. So things like that happen. So at any rate, thinking about giving this message, I was talking to Don earlier in the week, and I told him I had a real sense that this body has been given the assignment for a couple people to pray for to be healed, and those people include Isabel Stringfield and Hope, you know, and I really feel that we, as a body, maybe collectively while we're here, I'd like to lead us in prayer this way a little bit now, but also when we go home and as we go through the day and through the week and everything, to pray for these people. And I really feel it's quite possible, you know, that, and I discussed this with Don, that Isabel may be tormented by some kind of demons, okay? All right, I can say that word in here. Okay. And we need to pray for her to achieve some kind of deliverance with this and everything. And so this is what I was thinking, and this is what I was discussing with Don, and I was saying I would like to lead to today. And then this morning, Joan gets a text from Tammy. And Tammy says she's been praying here this last week or something. Well, you tell us. You tell us, Tammy.
I've just been praying this last week for Isabel. And just really kept hearing the scripture that comes out. This kind of comes out only by prayer and fasting. And the disciples went to Jesus and said, why can't we cast this out? And that's what he told them. And so I just kind of sent an email out to a few of the ladies and said, hey, can we do this for the next 6 weeks? And they kind of pray and fast. But what I really felt was the Lord, as much as I hesitate to use that demonic, you know, the way I was raised, because I was thrown around so much, really kind of feeling that and the torment of what he was telling us to pray for was... deliverance from her torment.
Yes.
Not casting something out, but just deliver her from her torment. Touch what no man can touch, and deliver her from her torment.
And you had a suggestion about fasting.
Yeah, just fasting just one day a week for like the next 6 weeks. Whatever you feel the Lord's telling you, if it's a meal, if it's just giving up something, you know, not condemning if you don't do it or if you forget to do it
today, but just
do it the next day.
It doesn't always have to be food when you fast. Mm-hmm. It can be something. One time I gave up because television just, I loved it so much I gave up television for a year. Now we barely want it. But it, because it was, I had to be home by a certain time to see a certain thing. And, you know, it was, had like control of me, so to speak. But I have to tell you, that exact thought came to me because we pray for Isabel and for Hope every single day also. And our church family. But it's, and we have a friend whose little dog is sick with lymphoma. And, you know, we'll go to our knees. And it's it. And those exact words about praying and fasting. And I said, this is Thanksgiving. But he did that to me before, where it was it during Thanksgiving week. He told me to fast for that week. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say that. I would feel that that's a confirmation that we should do it regardless of what we're led to fast over. But we need to do that as a body.
And then it's not a coincidence either that our Advent study is invitation saying yes to the Holy Spirit. So these things that have been placed on our hearts, these are bubbling out to the surface.
Yes.
And our ongoing concern. This is exactly what God is asking us to do, and He has given us this burden, but He's also given us the power to do this, because as Brian's been so eloquently telling us, He leads us to do things, but it's not about us. You know, we do what He tells us to do, and then He just comes through with what He's been planning to do. It's just that the thrill is ours when we've participated. When we've said yes, and then we actually see Him do it, you realize, wow, maybe He actually chose to use us to do these things and these specific examples.
Claire, the Holy Spirit's moving on this body this way.
Yes.
It's amazing you would say something about your vision of the heaven and getting there, because my word this morning when I woke up was the greatest gift that you get is salvation.
Yeah.
Whatever the degree of reward when you're in heaven is to be seen, and not for us to be maybe interpret at this time.
Yeah.
But the greatest gift that we get is salvation. Yeah. And it just came repeatedly over me this morning, and I just, when you said it, you know, it was like an epiphany.
We're all just pilgrims passing through, you know. The most glorious thing we can think of here on earth is just a mere shadow of what it's going to be like in heaven. Yes?
And the main thing for me that I have to always remember is sometimes, because I pray according to His will, because I trust whatever decision He makes, even if it's something I'm almost begging for, and sometimes He does say no.
Amen.
No. But I've also learned that it was our journey and what happened to us in our prayer time in our relationship with the Lord. That's what it was after.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, let me lead in prayer, and could be a short prayer or longer, and other people could join in at the end if they want. We still need to do communion, and I'm prepared to do that in just a few minutes. But let's pray for Isabel and Hope and however else people lead us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You as Your people. You've made people here be Your warriors, Your prayer warriors, to accomplish Your will here on earth in this particular area with these particular people. And we thank You that You are willing to use us this way, that You trust us enough to give us this burden to pray for Isabel and Hope, Lord, So we lift them up to you, and Lord, we pray that Isabel can be delivered of whatever is oppressing her. Lord, and we lift up Gregory at the same time to you, that he can have hope, that he can feel your presence and know that you haven't left him and you haven't deserted him at this time. But Lord, touch Isabel, whatever it takes, wherever she is, okay? And if it involves some of us getting together with her at some time, then Lord, let it be. But whatever it needs to be, Lord. In hope, we just, Lord, we feel so for our sister who's always hurting so much, our attractive young woman who just comes in with her cane, you know. Lord, we pray this doesn't have to be, and that she doesn't have to continue to have pain that's really oppressive. Lord, help. We lift her up to you today in the name of Jesus and by your blood shed for them and for us on the cross. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. Communion. We are blessed to be able to do communion. Let me start by just reading the usual scripture, and I have something I want to add to it. So it's in a couple places, but say Luke 22:19. I can see even, yeah. It says, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Okay, we're used to that, and we believe that. And what it says, you know, it says, sister, communion here this last week, and Joan and I read it, and it had a number of really interesting observations and thoughts about communion. And one of them that really struck me was that, you know, when we take the elements, when we take the bread and we drink the wine, we're not just remembering it, but we're taking his blood and his body anew and making it part of us. And we're living with that. That's now living with us. And so he's living inside us, okay, as we do this. And so when we do this, we're sort of renewing that idea that he is in us and living with us. And we have his body and we have his blood in us. And we can do things we couldn't do otherwise. And so I don't know if it was in what she passed around, but it led me to John 6:53. If I go there. Oops. Yeah. John 6:53-58. It says, so Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me, in the same way anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to remember what you've done for us, but also to renew what you are doing for us with your presence in us, by your blood and by your body that we take now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Joan?